This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world. You're listening to Place to Be Nation's Main Event, a roundtable experience looking at today's pro wrestling landscape. And now, here's your host, Scott Criscolo.
Place to Be Nation! I fooled you. I thought we were going to have a show 2 weeks ago, but we didn't. But we're back. The man behind the mask. For anybody who's a horror movie fan, that was from
Freddy. That's Alice Cooper, baby.
There he is. Can always count on this guy to come right in and stomp all over my... You're like Otunga. We all know whose voice that is. We'll get to that in a minute. Welcome, everyone, to the newest episode of The Main Event. I'm your host, Scott Criscolo. We were supposed to do a show 2 weeks ago, but we did some other podcast taping and schedules and such, so I was off for 2 weeks. But I have returned. I have two great guests, and we're going to talk about many things in WWE. First off, of course, this past Sunday was Hell in a Cell from Beantown. My first Boston pay-per-view I've missed in a while, actually. And then, of course, we'll look ahead to Survivor Series, which is Sunday, November 20th, from the Air Canada Center in Toronto, Ontario. And then we'll talk about some other stuff in around the world of wrestling. But first, let me bring in my two guests. My first one, you already heard his voice, so he'll get to go first. He's been gone a while. He's been touring the territories like Gary Hart, and he has settled into the Midwest for the moment, doing a little booking for the Sheik there, for Eddie Farhat. Good old Will from wherever he chooses to be. What's up, Will? Welcome back.
What's up, buddy? How you doing?
Good, man. Good. Of course, you heard Will back this past Sunday. He did the Hell in a Cell reaction show with Mr. Sorrow, Mr. Zellner.
I also killed it in that trivia contest.
Yeah, you did. Oh, yeah. You hit a home run. It was more like a bunt. But it was good. It was good to have you on, though. But it's good to have you back, man. I know you were on hiatus for a little bit, but it's good to have you back here with us in the Place to Be Nation family. So good to have you back on Main Event.
I'm happy to be back.
And on the other side of the coin, a guy who's inviting me on what I think could be the coolest rank and file or spank and defile of all time. But I'm not telling you the topic. Mr. Jordan Duncan.
Hey! So if Will bunted in the trivia contest, I think I struck out and then the catcher dropped the ball and I tore my hamstring running to first.
How many did you get right?
Three, maybe?
Oh, that's a bunt. That's how many I got.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
All right, you got three. That's more like
we beat Nate, yeah.
Yeah, no, yeah, Nate whiffed and then
three's an inside the park home run for me, man. That's pretty good.
JD, good to have you back. Of course, JD is the host.
Hold on. Yeah. I got a joke. Yes. Nate was like Robin Ventura attacking Nolan Ryan.
Oh, yeah, I know, exactly.
That's yes. What that was like.
Oh, went my in God. Full confidence.
Yes. Yep, and then took a pounding. Of course, JD is the host of Rank and File, and you and I discussed a future episode, JD, and I love
yeah,
the topic.
It'll be fun.
Love the topic, but we won't, of course, mention it here. You'll have to listen. Okay. But no, I definitely want to be surprised. Last time, let's see, what was the last Rank and File I did? Oh, what was it? Best WrestleMania title matches, I think, right?
Yes, yeah, yeah, title changes.
Title changes, and that's when we had an awesome discussion about Taker and Batista. That was fantastic.
Yeah.
That was awesome.
Oh, surprising amount of love. Yeah, a lot of love for that one.
I tell you, Will, I thought I was the only guy. I think I knew you liked it, but I thought I was the only one, but Ben liked it, and of course, as you know, we're coming up on that match on the next Place to Be podcast, Vintage Vault. Of course, the next vault is WrestleMania 23, so. All right, guys. Let's get into Sunday from Beantown. I was half watching because I was watching my beloved Cowboys come from behind and beat the Eagles.
Oh, Christ.
But, Will, you and I like zero sports teams, so we can acknowledge that. But that's
What's that? Hold on, what?
You and I agree on, I think, zero sports teams. So
this is probably true. I'm a Packers fan, a Spurs fan. Hey, wait, you're a Celtics fan?
No, I'm a Laker fan.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, I told you.
Okay.
Wait, how the hell are you a Packers fan?
Okay, it's fine.
How the hell are you a Packers fan?
As a Pistons fan, Andre Drummond finally started shaving his shoulder hair. So we
got going for it. And you got my boy Boban too, man.
I think the Pistons are all right.
What do you look like, the Berserker? How the hell did you become a Packers fan?
When I was growing up, because my family's from the Midwest, right?
Okay.
So, like, my dad, he grew up a Bears fan. My mother grew up a Packers fan. So, you know, I became a Packers fan.
Oh, okay.
And, And then in basketball, it was either Celtics or Lakers, right?
Right.
My dad was a Celtics fan. And when the Celtics were playing, you either rooted for the Celtics or you got the hell out of the house. It's that simple. So I grew up a Celtics fan, and then living in San Antonio, I became a big Spurs fan. So I kind of have my East Coast team and then my, you know, Spurs. So
That's awesome. My brother, I don't know if I ever told you this, Will. My brother lived in San Antonio for a year. So he lived in the suburb. Not where Sean lives. The Dominion, which apparently is, I guess, where all the $50 million houses are.
Yeah, but that's the rich town.
Yeah, Long Sunset town. Something or Sierra something. I don't know. Some suburb of San Antonio. But and then he went from being a Knicks fan to a Spurs fan. So anyway. So while I was watching the Cowboys, and then my iPad died, so I had no choice but to finish watching Hell in a Cell. Let's get into it. I didn't watch the pre-show match, which was a six-man cruiserweight match. Cedric Alexander, my man. Lince, what the hell's this guy's name? Lince Dorado? Is that his name?
Lince.
Lince.
Right?
And
is it Lince?
Is it Lince? I think it is.
If it's Spanish, it's Lince.
Lince. Yeah. And Sin Cara defeated Tony Nese, Drew Gulak. I'm gonna get killed for fucking.
We could call him Lance. Lance Dorado.
Lance. Lance. Tony Nese, like Jonathan Nese. No. Drew Gulak and Aria Davari. I thought when I first saw that, I thought it was the other Davari. Told you how out of loop I was with the.
Right?
I think it is. Yeah. Told you how out of loop I am with the cruisers, but at least my only guy I care about, Cedric. So I didn't watch this match. Cedric's team won in 9:45. Did anybody catch this match or no?
Yes. Yes. In fact, I thought it was one of the better matches on the show.
Was it? Was it? Did you see it, JD?
Here's what I liked about it,
uh-huh.
Scott.
Yep.
It started off like a Nitro six man, mm-hmm. right? You know, like just big move. And then Drew Gulak slows it down. He starts punishing Cedric Alexander, you know, taking it to the mat, doing, you know, I'm a big Drew Gulak fan from the indies, so I love what he does.
Okay.
And then they have a super hot stretch run, and it was the perfect way to showcase what the cruisers can do. Unlike what they're doing in the title picture, this was a perfect cruiser showcase.
JD, did you catch a match?
No, I did not.
Okay, I didn't either, so...
Oh, and one of the announcers, I don't know the announcers' names because I don't pay attention to that crap. One of them called it the Cedric Alexander's move, the Cedric Alexander School of Chiropractic Medicine. I thought that was a great line. I don't
awesome.
Know if they've used it before.
I love but, Cedric. If it was the Raw guys, it's Cole,
Byron, and
Corey Graves, and that fucking moron, fucking Saxton, who wore stupid ducky fucking pajamas on Halloween.
I don't know who it was, man.
Oh, it sucks. Anyway, all right, let's move to the prop show proper. We had three Hell in a Cell matches, all of them title matches. The three major belts were on the line: the United States title, the Universal title, and then of course the highly anticipated Raw Women's title match, which was the main event. So we'll get to that in a minute. All right, first off, the United States Championship was up first. Roman Reigns defending the title against Rusev in, I think, their second pay-per-view match. Of course, Reigns won the belt at Clash of Champions. As a matter of fact, I think he was the only title that changed hands that night. My personal opinion, and I'll throw it to you guys, I was not anticipating a lot, but this was also the match I figured had the least sell use of the three. And I was mostly right. The sell was not used a lot. I don't think this match needed a sell. They could have just had a street fight, but it is Roman Reigns, and he's got to be part of everybody's fucking toys.
Hey, can I read my notes real quick for you, Scott?
Sure.
This was a great match, but... it didn't need the cage. So we're on the same page.
Right, yeah.
We're on the same page.
Yeah, there was no need. I thought the match was fine. Those guys are okay together. I had no issue with it. I don't have an issue. As everyone knows on Main Event, and JD knows of it too, I don't hate Roman Reigns. Never did. And now that he's in a spot where everybody could stop pissing and moaning, I think he's fine. And it's two power guys who were, you know, okay. And the match was fine. There was no need for a... there was no need for the sell. I did like the spear on the steps to end the match. I thought that was kind of a cool spot. Mm-hmm. But I had no issues with it. I thought the match was fine. It wasn't great. I don't like where it was on the card. I would have put something else to open and put this in the middle.
Yeah,
but we'll get to that
in a minute.
The
same thing.
So, all right. Overall, JD, what'd you think?
Yeah, I think I'll just echo what you guys say. First of all, the cell was totally unnecessary. I mean, they used a kendo stick, they used the steps, they used the chain. It could have just been a street fight, and they could have pretty much done the exact same thing, and you wouldn't have to run the risk of people pissing and moaning that they didn't use the cell enough, which I haven't really heard that complaint, but that's a risk you're always going to run.
Right.
It was mostly fine. Part of it for me was I didn't watch the show live. I watched it the next day, so I already knew results. So, you know, sometimes that affects how you view matches. So I knew the finish ahead of time. They really, really, really wanted to make Roman look strong, powering out of that accolade on steps with a chain in his mouth to get the win. So.
Awesome visual, by the way.
Yeah.
It was a good visual. No, I agree 100%. Great visual.
Except lighting the chain before he used it, you know, to make sure it's real metal and stuff. So, man, Rusev's so good, though. I love Rusev. I think he's really, really underrated. We've talked on this show before about how Reigns is actually underrated in terms of people saying he sucks and he doesn't at all, but Rusev's almost like one of those guys that people just don't talk about good or bad, but man, I really, really like his work.
Well, I don't know what circle. I mean, my circle's Rusev's a god, right? Like, I mean, Scott, I think we've talked previously how I'm just like, Rusev should have been the number one heel for the last 3 years in my mind.
Oh, yeah, sure. Oh, yeah, easily. Yep.
Like, just, I mean, he should have never lost to John Cena at that Mania in San Francisco. Should have never
lost another seven times to John Cena right after that.
Should have never. You know, the feud with Sheamus I actually liked, but once he got that U.S. strap, he should have just kept it forever. And you know, it should have been the Rusev Memorial U.S. title. You know what I mean? I mean, because the guy was just so awesome, especially. But I think he got injured or something. But that's neither here nor there.
What's I'm funny is,
go ahead. No,
good, JD.
I was gonna say what's kind of funny is we're talking about this in a Rusev Reigns match. I think his original trajectory should have been him beating Cena at Mania with the tank, and then holding it probably all summer, and then finally losing to Roman Reigns. You know, I think that would be the best way to do it. You know,
and they still should have. You know, this goes right. These are the little things, Will, that you and I agree with from the old school territory days. He should have just made it the Russian Heavyweight Championship. How do you do that? How do you not put the hammer and sickle flag on it? And you stick Putin on the fucking screen for 8 months. Why don't you do like Lance Storm did with all the belts in WCW and put little Russian flags and, you know, dress them like Drago and, you know, that kind of thing. That'd be freaking great. Nope. Wasted it. Idiots.
Keep Lana, keep Summer Rae far, far away from them. All
that was a waste. That was crap. And then you had Lana feud with her, and she dressed like a cheap knockoff of Elizabeth Shue from the first Karate Kid. It was terrible. The whole thing sucked. But anyway, that's a whole story. And I love Rusev's new facial hair. His facial hair rocks.
He looks kind of imposing. If they took him seriously as a threat to the other, whatever, man. I hate the booking of WWE.
Did you guys see the news about Rusev? He's he's facing Brock at a big Mexico City show in December.
Is he really? Yeah. I don't think he'll put up with Brock's crap, to be honest with you.
I'd like to see that match.
Yeah, he will.
I want to see Rusev pound the fucking crap out of him, but that's just my opinion. So there you go. So Roman Reigns retains his United States Championship in a decent match. I mean, out of 5 stars, I don't know.
You know what?
2.25 maybe.
Besides the main event, this was the best match on the show, personally. This is, okay, I have a little bit different view of this. Let me explain the setup. So I did the reaction show with Chris and Johnny Sorrow on Sunday after the show. I deliberately did not watch the pay-per-view because I wanted to do a little experiment because these guys are like, they like the staggered cages. I don't. I hate I even hate the idea of a buffer match. You know what I mean? Like, if these are your main events,
interesting.
Lower the cage. And I made this point on the reaction show. Lower the cage. Do the 3 cage matches. If the cage match after can't follow the one before, then maybe it shouldn't go on after. You know, that's just my mentality. You know, build to the main event. And the reason I say this is I went to an AAW show in Chicago a couple of weeks ago, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Met a lot of great people. Hung out with my buddy Charles from PWO.
Oh, cool.
Met Dr. Keith Lipinski. He used to have a podcast with Rob Naylor. It was just awesome. Hung out with my buddy Chris Hero. Well, the way that show was structured is it felt like every match that came after the one before was better than the one before. It was really one of the best live shows I've ever been to. Okay. Mm-hmm. And so I loved it. And by the time you got to Chris Hero and Kongo Kong beating the crap out of each other, you're like, there's no way they can top this. Well, then Sami Callihan and Pentagon go have a bloody, nasty, grotesque street fight that tops the match before. It was just every match built better than the one before. It was that's the way the show was structured. So what I did is I did a little experiment here. And what I did was I said, well, I'm going to watch the three Cell matches back to back.
Right.
You know?
Okay.
So I watched all of the prelim matches, you know, so I jumped from the six-man cruiser match into Dana Brooke and Bayley, and then the Enzo Cass match, then the Perkins Kendricks match, then New Day versus the Sheamus Cesaro. And so then I did the three Cell matches. So as an opener, yeah, I really like this match, but I thought it even worked better in the context of building after the other matches.
Mm-hmm.
Huh.
You know? And so that's how I kind of watched the show.
Interesting.
And what I really liked about this was early on, Roman's getting the shine. He's just abusing Rusev. Rusev's taken some great bumps early on. And I don't think anyone's mentioned that here or on the reaction show. Took some really cool bumps.
He did.
Didn't need the cage. There were a couple of cage bumps, you know, like he took the one off the apron into the cage. And so there were a few cage bumps, but mainly steps, right?
Yeah.
And so at that point, then Rusev turns the tide, and then he's abusing Roman's shoulder. And so then he goes. And then once the kendo stick comes out, the chain comes out, the stairs come out, you know, there's a lot of great visuals, a lot of big shots, a lot of two big guys beat the hell out of each other. So I really like this match, but I viewed it in a different context than all of America. So you know, I just wanted to make that point clear.
Uh-huh.
But I agree with you guys. Didn't need the cage, but I still thought they had a great match, even with the cage there.
Yeah,
I thought they went at each other pretty good. If it was a straight-up street fight without the Cell. See, here's my problem with the pay-per-view, and there's rumors I've heard. I don't know if this is true or not, but a couple people have told me that starting in, like, fresh in 2017, they're ditching all the theme shows. Like, this was the last Hell in a Cell. December 4th will be the last TLC. I think Money in the Bank will stay, because that's not a gimmick pay-per-view. That's just one match named after it.
Well, I think the whole Money in the Bank concept needs to go away too. I think they've abused and worn that out too. They need something totally different.
You
they
think so?
Get rid of that one. Yeah.
Okay. I'm not too bad with that one, but they definitely need to get rid of TLC, and they need.
Just tweak the Money in the Bank, like make it something almost like that can be defended. You know, like you got to put the briefcase on.
Yeah, you have to make. Yeah, you don't see that very often. I agree.
Then it just makes it another belt, though. But I don't know.
See, I prefer that they just do it where, okay, you win the Money in the Bank. That guarantees you a title match at the next pay-per-view or Survivor Series or whatever.
SummerSlam,
SummerSlam, whatever. And then it means something.
Right.
And then you don't have stupid run-ins, which cheapen the belts. And they've already done all the run-ins they can. It means nothing anymore, you know? So
yeah. No, that's something they should definitely think about. Yeah, no, they should definitely think about that. TLC needs to go as a pay-per-view, and I think I have a feeling it is, and Hell in a Cell needs to definitely go as a pay-per-view. But if you just put these, because I think they got robbed of some credit because of the Cell. If you take the Cell out, let's be honest. If you pretend the Cell's not there, is Rusev Reigns 3 stars? Maybe 3.5. Maybe, but because the visual of a Cell knocks it down because they didn't use it. And that sucks, because that's not fair to Rusev and Reigns, who worked their ass off for, almost 25 minutes, 24:35, and worked their asses off. But because the visual of the Cell is there, here's the problem. Let me say this, and we'll get to the matches. But I want to talk about the Cell for a minute. In case anybody doesn't know, the Cell is my favorite gimmick match ever. And that's because a lot of my favorite guys have been in the Cell. And pretty much almost all of them have been awesome. There's very few that I don't like.
Really?
Yeah, there's very few I don't like. That I love it, or really that there's a few I don't like?
Like, really, you love a lot of them?
I love most of them, yeah, I do. Some of them are... I mean, let me rephrase that, Will. Let me clarify. I like most of them before it became a pay-per-view.
Got it. Okay.
How about that?
Yeah, that's fair.
Okay.
Fair.
Because there are some from, like, the other years that, you know, like, the other day.
Like Boss Man Taker, top 5 for you, right?
Oh, absolutely not. No.
But, I mean, Shane Taker.
But,
Shane and the Undertaker.
But, I mean, let's put it this way. Three of my favorite matches of all time are incels.
Which ones?
Taker Brock from No Mercy 02.
Love it.
Triple H Batista from Vengeance 05. And Shawn Taker from Bad Blood 97. The only Triple H one I don't like is Triple H Shawn from Bad Blood 04 because it's way too long.
That
fucking match is 47 minutes. Anyway, my point is the pay-per-view needs to be the match needs to end a feud, not what's the word I'm thinking of? The match needs to establish the feud. The feud doesn't establish the match.
Right.
Is the gimmick, I should say.
Yeah.
So the problem is when you're going to stick, like the other two matches on the card needed sells because they've been long-standing feuds, multiple months. And I know Rusev and Reigns kind of was, but technically they only wrestled once on pay-per-view. The feud lasted a while, but how many times they wrestle? Once at yeah. Clash of Champions. They had the whole shit show at SummerSlam, and then they kind of backed and forthed on Raw. So this match could have just been a simple street fight where you know, the kendo stick and the steps. If you take the visual of the cell out of it, you add, I think, a star and a half to the match. But because it's like, wow, the cell was there, they didn't even use it, 2.25. See, that's bullshit. That's not fair to Rusev and Reigns. You know what I mean?
See, I'm hold on, Scott. I am completely off this 3.5, 2.25 stuff. I thought it was still a great match, cage or no cage. Like, I didn't take a star off. Like, I was 4-star+ on this. I love this match.
Okay, no, that's awesome. No, I'm cool with that. All I'm saying is, I think a lot of people who were on the fence whether they liked the match or not, and this could go for the other two matches as well, thought that if they didn't use the cell enough because it was there, it should be penalized. And that's silly. Mm. But any event,
I don't do that, man.
We'll continue on. Anyway, Roman Reigns retains.
Say that people who tend to do that would also probably drop it down just because Roman's in the match.
Well, that's true too, and that's
lose lose
exactly, and that's just
or those kind for of that matter.
And Rusev for that. I agree with you. And that's just getting tiresome. So Roman Reigns retains your United States Championship. All right, next we have a singles women's match. You can almost call it a glorified number one contenders match. Bayley taking on Dana Brooke in a 6.5-minute match. Bayley wins. Match is okay. Not earth-shattering, but, you know, a perfectly fine second match on the card women's match. Nothing offensive.
Right, nothing offensive.
Nothing offensive. Will, do you like Dana Brooke?
No, man, who cares? No one really cares about Dana Brooke. Let's talk about Bayley, because really, Scott, I'm saying nobody cares about Dana Brooke. Like, she's nothing. You know what I mean? The charisma's not there. The interest in her is not there. The wrestling ability is not there. It's about Bayley. Bayley was the biggest shit in NXT. I've had friends just argue, Dylan, Chris, argue over and over again. Bayley was the heart and soul of NXT when she was there. She was the biggest person. And she comes here, and just like a lot of other people that come from NXT, she's not getting the same reactions. She doesn't have the same connection to the crowd. And it's because of putting her in crap like this, you know? So
yeah. I had always said when she was in NXT that and I know Willie thinks I despise Bayley. I don't. I really don't. I thought she was okay. She wasn't great. I don't know why everybody jumped on her bandwagon.
Because she had great matches.
She did. And then I finally saw the one that won it for me was when she beat Sasha at TakeOver last year in Brooklyn. That's what won Bayley over for me. And then I think her and Asuka had two really good matches. Now, but I always said, and I said the same thing about guys like Adam Rose, and I was right. NXT gimmicks, some of the NXT gimmicks in 2014 and 2015, a little different now, were very difficult to translate in a bigger crowd. Adam Rose had a cool gimmick when there was 2,000 people at Full Sail, because he only had, like, what, 10 people in that conga line of whack jobs.
Right.
But move the gimmick to a 20,000-seat arena, and you'll still only give him 10 guys. The gimmick looks stupid. Now, if they gave him, like, 30 guys, or 30 people, I shouldn't say guys, 30 people in the conga line, then that's better. But all you did was lift up the NXT gimmick and put it into a bigger arena with the same amount of little guys, and it looked stupid, and then it shit the bed, and then he became, you know, a freaking jobber. I was worried that Bailey would suffer the same fate. The whole, you know, the wiggle balloon, you know, the wiggle things, you know, the parachute figures or whatever the fuck they're called. You know, whatever those stupid things, you know, one of those, the wavy yeah. things that, whatever those are called. I said to myself, these are cool in a little tiny venue because they're so big and they're so tall in a little tiny Full Sail. But you stick these things at Prudential or at, the, you know, this place where, you know, 18, 19,000 seat venues and you're like, I don't know. Does she come off as low rent? What do you think, JD?
No, I don't think that's the case. I think it's a more that if you watch Bayley in WWE and you don't watch NXT, you don't really know what she's supposed to be.
Right.
And I think that they rely too much on assuming that their fan base watches all their stuff, and they produce a lot of stuff. So I think really it can boil down to that, is that they just think that we already know who she is. Right. And like the three of us do, and I'm sure a lot of fans do, but there's a lot who don't.
Right.
You know, and I don't know if it's lazy or just arrogant or foolishness. I don't really know. But
all
I think
of the
that's,
above.
Yeah, I think yeah. I think that's the bigger issue. I mean, yeah, I get your point that can seem low rent, but I mean, one of the hottest acts of the past year wore inflatable or glow-in-the-dark unicorn horns. So
you know, that is true too. Yeah, that is
anything
true too.
Can get over, you know.
Yeah, that is true too.
I think that's the biggest thing, is that they, you know, with Bailey on Raw, and I haven't been watching much. I more read the results on the Brian Bayless's stuff, and I listen to Review of Raw podcasts and stuff. But it sounds to me like they just trot her out there, like, "Hey, here's Bailey," which is cool for those of us who know Bailey and right. like Bailey.
Right,
but you don't know Bailey. Like, okay, who's she? And they really haven't explained who she is.
Right. And that's not just Bailey. That's sure. company wide. They have that problem with a lot of characters.
Yes,
and, oh,
I agree
let's
with
just
you.
Trot this person out, and we'll assume because they were on the network that we know who they are, and we don't.
You know who?
And
got,
I say we. I mean the general public.
You know who got? You know who really got killed by that? Apollo Crews.
Oh yeah,
he got killed by that. Hey, look, Apollo Crews. Yeah, what about
the
him?
The entire cruiserweight division.
Oh, we'll get to that later.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that in a couple of matches. But the entire cruiserweight division has no direction.
Right.
You know, partially because of the people they have on top of it right now, but mainly because they threw this thing out there with no rhyme or reason, with no reason to care, except to tell us that we should care. And that was it. Was garbage, and we're gonna talk about that.
Yeah,
yeah. Really, all we know about Bailey right now is that she's like pals with Sasha, but just because she showed up at that, what show did she show up at? Was it Clash of Champions?
Yeah, she did.
That's
tag.
Her mystery partner.
Yeah,
but I mean, like, she hasn't helped her in the feud or anything. So it's kinda,
I know.
Yeah.
Now the match with Dana Brooke. Here's the other problem with Dana Brooke.
I will say this: Dana Brooke sucks.
You know, it's funny as well. It's funny you say that, and it's funny you say what your opinion will, because let me. Here's a take. A hot take.
Uh-oh.
I have
really
on
here. Listen up.
If Vince was booking the women, and I don't think he is, he would so get rid of Bailey, and he would have a boner for Dana Brooke, because Dana Brooke is like a women's version of Hercules Hernandez,
yeah.
and Bailey is like James Ellsworth. And he'd be like, oh, these skinny chicks. No, I like that jacked up blonde chick over there. You know what I'm saying? And that's unfortunate. Now, Dana Brooke might have been another one that wasn't in NXT long enough. And that's another discussion for another day.
Oh, absolutely.
On how, that's another discussion for another day on how Vince needs to keep his fucking hands off of NXT and let these people mature instead of filling up a 3-hour show's roster with people that aren't totally ready for it yet. But that's another discussion for another day.
He really needs to just get on his sexy beast boat and drive away and sell the seven seas and get the fuck out of my TV.
Yeah,
I really hate the idea that guy is still in charge when he has no clue what he's doing.
Yeah,
I think he sucks now. Actively hurts the product.
Yeah, we can go for another 2 hours about that. But anyway, Bailey wins. The match is fine, and let's move on. And she's sitting there as a possible future opponent.
At least they got that part right.
Yeah, exactly. At least she won the match. All right, next up we have a tag match with two guys, two teams, one of which should be tag team champions. The team of Luke Gallows and Karl Anderson, I still call them the club. They're still the club to me.
Biz Quiz.
Taking on these other two clowns. Well, one clown and one guy who should power bomb them and move on to a better tag team. And the right team won here as well. Gallows and Anderson win in 6:45. Because honestly...
Wait. How did the right team win here?
Because Enzo's a douche. That's why.
Oh, Scott hates Enzo.
I hate Enzo. I hate Enzo.
I mean, I get it. But they're, you know what? And I made this point on the reaction show. I'm going to make it here. This company is tone deaf when it comes to groups that are over.
I don't give a shit
if you hate Enzo. He's over. I hated the New Age Outlaws and the Attitude Era. You know what? They were freaking over. I think it sucked, but they were over. These two guys, I think they look like idiots. I still don't get the appeal, but they're over. And this company has a real problem of capitalizing on people that are over.
Because
somebody already has it in their head, and you mentioned this previously, someone already has in their head that this guy should be the star. So let's forget about the organic, natural crowd reactions we're getting for these other guys. Let's force these other people down people's throats and ruin us in the process. Sorry, Scott.
You know what, Will? It's my show, and I don't fucking care if they're over. How's that sound? I fucking hate him, and that's it.
I'm just saying, it's a
I don't give a shit. I don't think he's funny. I don't think he's fucking funny. His jokes are stupid. He's a fucking idiot, and I think Cash should boot him in the fucking face and move on to something better. I don't know why he's getting cheered. His jokes are stupid. He's an idiot. I don't get it. I just don't fucking get it. Why is he over?
And, I don't know.
I'm gonna put that in your lap, Will.
Shit. I'm too old, man.
Why is he over? I don't get it.
I have a theory.
I mean, I'm clueless. The New Age Outlaws were over, Will, because they were one double entendre after another. That's why. The Attitude Era put them over because all they did was talk about smoking blunts and banging chicks. They just didn't say that. That's what made the New Age Outlaws over. I don't know why they're over. I just don't get it. And I'm allowed to say that.
Let me give you my theory.
Yeah, sure. Go ahead, JD. Please.
All right. What was The Rock's catchphrase?
Doesn't matter. Oh, I don't know. He had like 12.
Right.
Do you smell what The Rock is cooking?
Yeah. How about Stone Cold?
And that's the bottom line because Stone Cold said so.
Right. We could go over the list and there's a bunch of...
Dude, let's do this. I will win this trivia contest.
Here's why I say that. Catchphrases, like, don't exist anymore. Like, who has a catchphrase now?
Right.
Think about it. And I think that's one reason why they're over is because they have a catchphrase that you can chant along with and scream with. Like, right. I mean...
And Jericho's List catchphrase. Holy shit. Who thought that would get over? Yeah. People are itching for this shit.
We're going to talk about Jericho. I'm glad you brought that up.
I mean, people like Rollins, but does he have a catchphrase?
Nope. He just has words. He has words on his t-shirt.
Right. I think that's a big reason why they're theme such a hot act because
and the theme
they are crowd participation. I mean, I think it's as simple as that.
True.
You know.
True. Well, that's why DX got over.
And Scott, it really is a simple formula. Little dude gets his ass beat, makes the tag to big dude who cleans house.
Yep. No, I mean, you're right. You're exactly right.
And big guy uses little guy as a weapon.
Yep. That's fine.
It's a simple formula and it works.
Yeah.
And it's always worked. And they should do it more because it works.
It does work. Hot tags. Hey, except when you're Ricky Morton and Robert Gibson and you were both small little twerps. But I don't know how Robert Gibson always got to be the the hot tag guy. I don't know, maybe because he had the hairier chest. I don't know. But here's the thing.
It was his lazy eye, I think.
It was the fact that he was looking at David Crockett while talking to Tony Schiavone. here's the thing. They're gimmicky, and they're at a part on the card where that's fine. I just love – I like Big Cass, and I feel he's being hindered because he's hiding – he's standing there with the guy – Let's talk about this. The same thing happened in 1999. Who was the more talented guy in the New Age Outlaws? Billy Gunn.
No, he was not.
In the ring? Oh, he was definitely more talented than Road Dogg.
Jesse James Armstrong was a great wrestler in Memphis in USWA.
Why didn't he wrestle like that in the WWE? Now, see, Will, listen to what you said. He was a great wrestler in Memphis. He was not a great wrestler in the WWF, though. Same thing with Jim Duggan.
Neither was Billy Gunn. Billy Gunn was horrible in WWF. He bombed every time they tried to push the guy because he sucked.
Exactly. You just proved my point because that's what I'm afraid is going to happen if they ever break up Cass. Cass is going to be the better-looking version of Baron Corbin. That's why they need to be the new Skyscrapers. But anyway, that's a different. That's another. That's like the Russian heavy. That's like my Russian heavyweight title wet dream. In any event, the situation is, there's no good heel tag teams in on the Raw roster right now, which is why New Day still has the belts, which apparently is pissing people off, and we'll get to that match later. There is no good heel tag teams on Raw right now, other than Gallows and Anderson. All the good heel tag teams are actually on SmackDown. And I watched a few of them today when I watched SmackDown this week's SmackDown Live. That's the problem. You have how many tag teams are there in the WWE on Raw? New Day and these two. I don't count Sheamus.
And now Sheamus and Cesaro.
Yeah, right. Are they a team though, or is this the same Matt Hardy MVP 2008 shit or 2007? I guess. Well, I guess
it could be a great team because Cesaro could make it work. Cesaro's exactly. been a part of some really great tag teams that were just thrown together. Him and exactly. Swagger were just thrown together.
They were thrown together.
A really great. Tag
they were pretty awesome.
They were pretty awesome. That's because Cesaro's awesome, and actually Swagger at times wasn't a horrendous worker. But anyway, the club wins. We don't know why or where they're going with it because they've already lost like four times to freaking the New Day.
And they lost on Monday Night Raw.
And they lost on Raw. So God only knows what the fuck the deal is. Anyway, we spent too much time on this tag match. Enzo could be happy that we actually spent a good 8 minutes talking about him because he probably would have thought I'd never want to talk about him at all. any last thoughts, Will? Any last thoughts? I know I kind of smashed the whole. I don't give a shit if they're over, but you are right. They are over, and you got to.
I just don't get it. I mean, if Gallows and Anderson aren't going to win, they're not going to push them. There was no need to, because I'm still a guy who believes wins and losses matter. How do you expect me to suspend my disbelief if you don't treat winners like winners and losers like losers? Yeah. And if they're going to make Gallows and Anderson losers, then make them lose. But if not, then let them mow down people.
Yeah.
You know, that's just the way I
agree
I'm
with
kind
you
of old
that.
School like that.
No, that's one thing, Will, that, and I know we've had that debate many times on this show, and it's been fantastic debate. I've always been in your camp on that. I like wins and losses, I think, make a big deal, too. And again, if you don't have any heel tag teams on Raw to challenge whoever the hell the champions are, then what the hell's the point of having them?
Hey,
so,
hey, right now, as we speak, the World Series is going on, right?
Yep.
Yep.
Why is this like the biggest World Series of all time? Because the Cubbies and the Indians have been losers for decades, right?
Right, yeah.
All of a sudden, it matters. Game seven for the two teams with the longest losing streak or longest World Series
drought.
Drought ever. You know, I mean, you couldn't book a better World Series than this. You know, I mean, that's why it matters. I mean, when CM Punk was champion and Ryback was on a winning streak, why did that matter? Because it mattered. Because wins and losses matter. That's why people tune in.
I think you even go to right now. There's a reason Strowman gets a reaction. It's not because he's good. It's because he wins all the time. You know, he's just eating up jobbers.
Yep. So, there we go. So, the club wins, and that's that. All right. Next, our second cell match of the evening, and then we'll take a break after we talk this match. The Universal Championship, the Red Belt, is on the line. Will, I want to ask you something. You and I, again, old school, cut from the same mold. I just grew up...
Old school and old.
Well, that too, yeah. I grew up... The only difference between you and I is I grew up WWF, you grew up with the other territories. But I don't know if you're as big a belt junkie as I am. I love belts. What do you think of the Universal belt, the red and the leather? What do you think of it? Do you care? If you don't care, you can tell me. It's all right.
I do, but I like a black strap and gold. You know what I mean? Or silver. That's
okay.
It, you know, make it simple.
You know what belt today I was watching Today I was watching, I forgot what year, what's the date? The March 8th, 86 episode of NWA. And that was the show that Magnum TA debuted that the new US title belt, the one that Nikita Koloff smashed before the belt that it would end up being like the WCW belt. That's like my favorite US belt of all time. I love that belt to death. And I was just curious that, because at first I hated the Universal belt, like, and of course everybody trashed that SummerSlam match with Finn Balor because of the belt, which I thought was kind of childish. But again, the belt's grown on me like every belt grows on me. But I was just curious, Will, your opinion. JD, do you like, we talked about it, you don't really carry the way, right?
Nah.
A belt's a belt. In any event, Kevin Owens has it, and he defends it against Seth Rollins.
As long as it doesn't spin or do something.
Yeah, exactly. Although Cena's U.S. spinner belt, I always liked. The other belt, we won't even talk about. I don't discuss it on this show. All right. So Kevin Owens defending the Universal Championship against Seth Rollins inside Hell in a Cell. Now, Will, you pretty much made it clear earlier that you thought the Reigns Rusev match was the second best match on the card behind the main event, which we'll get to in the next segment.
Yes.
So you thought that match was better than this match?
Yes.
Why? Curious.
One, because I like Reigns and Rusev the way they wrestle more.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
Now, let me give you an example. Mm-hmm. When Reigns and Rusev were fighting, I really believe they were inflicting punishment on each other. And this is a problem I have with Owens and Rollins as wrestlers, period.
Mm-hmm.
When I see them wrestle, I believe that they are performing moves. Do you understand the difference?
Yep.
One is to inflict punishment on the wrestler. One is to perform a showcase of moves. Let me give you an example. I talked about the accumulation of damage that Rusev and Reigns put. Earlier on, it wasn't really exciting, but you could see them building the groundwork for the big hot finish with the weapons and everything, right? Early on, when Rollins was making his comeback after the initial exchange or whatever, he's launching himself outside onto Owens, right?
Yep.
And the idea is that you're launching yourself to be a battering ram to push Owens into the cage.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, at one time he's doing, what is it, the pescata? What's the one where you fly through the ropes?
Suicide.
Poncho, whatever.
Yeah, I don't know.
And, dude, like, because Owens is like 5'3" or whatever, Rollins literally does, like, a spear right into the cage, right? He practically missed Owens. But Owen sells it, and Rollins just gets up and is like, dude, you just rammed right into the cage. The whole idea of this cage is that. But because he had to do another one, which actually hit Owens, he didn't sell the cage damage. He didn't sell it. You know what I mean? To me, it's a bigger problem where they're going from one move to the next move where it's not actually about the damage you inflict. So if the smart thing to do would have been to call an audible, like, oh crap, Owens is only 5'4", so let me ram myself into this cage. We'll just call it off that Owens ducked,
mm-hmm.
even though he can't duck that low because, you know, whatever, because he's short. And then let Rollins sell that damage. It would mean so much more. Okay? Mm-hmm. You see where I'm coming from? So mm-hmm. me, that's the big difference in the two matches. The other difference is, and I think this was actually good because I watched the cage matches back to back.
That's why I'm asking you.
I really liked about Reigns versus Rusev is that their weapons were the chains and the steps, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, this one it was chairs and tables,
right?
And so I kind of like that they stayed away from different weapons within the two matches, and then we'll call Jericho the third weapon. And plus the Jericho thing. Jericho was the most over guy in the match. You know what I mean? Well, he's the most over guy in the roster. So, to me, for the Universal title in the middle of the show, when it really should have been towards the top, you know,
right.
I don't even mind this match and the fact that it was more bullshit. You know what I mean? It was the Jericho interference and, you know, smashing tables and shit. I'm okay with all that stuff.
Okay.
You know?
I'm going to get to Jericho in a minute.
But for what I like, Reigns Rusev accomplished it. This one right here, it was more a series of spots and moves than it was a story that says these guys hate their each other's guts and should be battling it out.
Okay. All right, cool. JD, I want to ask you a different question.
Okay.
Jericho is over. And the whole, you know, the stupid clipboard and the he dresses like David Bowie during the Thin White Duke era with those fucking boots and the stupid scarf. But that's fine. He's over.
He's doing cocaine like that, too.
Well, actually, he was more of a heroin guy. I don't know. Maybe that's why he has the jacket on.
That was his cocaine era, brother.
Who, Bowie?
Dude, I know Bowie history. That was Bowie's cocaine era.
Oh, I thought that was more heroin. Well, not that one's better than the other. But anyway.
I know cocaine.
Either way, I think Jericho would be a little thinner if he was
that's exactly. Anyway. Jericho is over now. We get that. That's fine. However, Should he be more over? Is he overshadowing Kevin Owens, JD? Is this too much Jericho for Kevin Owens right now? What do you think?
No. In fact, I think it's, for once, they're doing something right where, you know, they, what I think the company fails to do so often is strike while the iron's hot. And so I think that for once they're capitalizing on that, because maybe with Jericho, because he's been around so long, they're like, well, we don't know how long we got with this, so let's just milk it for all it's worth, you know?
Right.
And that's kind of wrestling in a nutshell, is you get something hot, you get a hot story, hot angle, hot gimmick, and you just keep using it till it dries up. And so, no, I don't think it's really overshadowing Owens, because everyone kind of knows. If anything, it might be overshadowing Rollins, because we all kind of suspect, you know, eventually Kevin Owens is going to get put on the list, and Jericho's going to have the big dramatic face turn. I think that's where they're going to go. Would you agree with that?
I do. And I like Jericho. I like the character, the turn his character's gotten. I'm just concerned, because there is a difference between helping elevate the younger guy and throwing a wet blanket over the younger guy. And yeah, I'm just concerned.
And using the younger guy to get the shine on you.
The shine on you. And I'm just, because I love Owens. I love Owens. Yeah. And I'm just a little scared that he's going to get washed out by Jericho. And I'm concerned about that. I'm glad they're together. I am glad they're together. And, you know, the two Canadian guys, and they're both, you know, dicks to Foley, who's a fucking dick himself anyway. But I just get scared that I don't want Owens to drown in the sea of Jericho.
Where I wouldn't worry about it too much is that it's Owens. You know, thinking of him, he's a guy who is willing to make off-the-cuff remarks, is willing to kind of just shoot off little lines that clearly aren't in script. And that's where Jericho could really eat a guy up, is a guy who, like Rollins, I don't think Rollins goes off script ever. Even like Will said, he totally misses the dive and basically throws himself into the cage. But, you know, the match is laid out to where he has to get up and go right to another spot, you know.
Right.
Whereas with Owens, you know, even in the match, at the beginning of the match where Rollins is beating him down, he's saying, this is my, I'm the man here. And Owens goes, shut up, while he's getting kicked on the mat. You know, like little things like that. Think back to like the Ryback feud where they threw that book cover in his face and Owens is like, this is a stupid book. You know, just like little things like that to where he'll get his lines in to where he's not going to look like a total chump.
Right.
So in that sense, no. But I understand where you're coming from, because they may try to not intentionally. I don't want to say try to, but they may go a little too heavy-handed with the Jericho and the list and all kinds of stuff like that. As it is right now, it's a weird situation, because obviously he's really entertaining in the backstage stuff. It's the matches where Jericho's a little, definitely showing his age. I don't say Jericho's matches are terrible or anything, but I think he's lost a step. And since his matches are the ones you aren't really looking forward to. So,
right.
Okay. But no, I'm not too worried about Owens, at least. I think if it was someone else, maybe I would be.
Okay.
Yeah, but Jordan, the thing about that is, you know what they used to do with wrestlers who lost a step? They used to make them managers, and they became great managers, and they were still a great part of the show.
He'd be an awesome manager right now.
Oh no, I agree with you 100%. I just love Owens, and he has his own personality, and I just don't want Jericho to out Jericho him.
I think if anything, it feels like Owens is still he's the Universal Champion, but he still doesn't feel like they really have total faith in him to be like a top guy. You know, like look at how he won the title with the Triple H thing. Like that went nowhere. You know, I mean, have they ever explained that? Like, is that still like a thing?
It's like the Hummer or the limo or whatever.
You know what I mean? Like, and it's just kind of, I don't know. It's like they're going like a half measure instead of a full measure with Kevin Owens.
Right.
And I think that will hurt him more than like Jericho kind of stepping all over him.
Yeah.
Is their reluctance to really pull the trigger and, you know, just let him be as big of a star as he can be.
Right. All right. Well, I'm cool with it.
Will said at a Chris Jericho stable where people make the list and he six dudes after them.
That would be pretty sweet. I do like that. All right. Why don't we take a break, guys? Great job so far. We've got three matches left on the card, and then we'll talk about some other stuff. You are listening, of course, to Placement Nation's main event. Scott Criscolo, Jordan Duncan, Will. When we come back, we'll finish off the card. and talk about some other tidbits from around WWE after this.
Hey, Scott, are we going to keep going just like straight through?
Because?
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Voice of Ring of Honor's Kevin Kelly here. I just want to make sure you're all subscribed to all of our great feeds here at Place to Be Nation. Now, it's really easy to do. Just head to iTunes or your preferred podcatcher app today and search for and subscribe to the Place to Be Nation Wrestling Feed, Place to Be Nation Pop Feed, Pro Wrestling Only Feed, and, of course, the Kevin Kelly Show Feed, which includes the full archives of my podcast. Subscribe, listen, and then rate us and leave feedback today. And, of course, as always, enjoy all the great action of Ring of Honor Wrestling and everything presented to you on PlaceToBeNation.com.
Place to Be Nation's JT Rizzero here, and I want to let you know that we have a ton of great podcasts available to you on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and PlaceToBeNation.com, and we offer them to you across two great feeds. On the Place to Be Nation Wrestling feed, you can check out Scott Criscolo and me on the Mothership, the Place to Be podcast with our famous vintage vault pay-per-view reviews. PTBN also covers current-day wrestling with the smash hit Clotheslines and Headlines, our steady veteran main event, and the beloved monthly pay-per-view reaction shows with immediate feedback on all pro wrestling super shows. Relive wrestling's past with our monthly pay-per-view rewind series led by Ben Morse, the always contentious Dangerous Alliance podcast, and Survey Says, a fun look back at the good, bad, and ugly of WCW. On our very popular Place to Be Nation Pop podcast feed, we offer such great shows as the Glenn Butler Podcast Hour Spectacular, Rank and File, NBA Team, Lucha Undead, Geek and Sassy, and a veritable podcast heaven for comic fans with Hard Traveling Fanboys, Sellers Points, Todd Weber's Conversation, and Imaginary Stories. Subscribe to both of those feeds on iTunes and rate and leave feedback for us as well. All of these shows plus others available at PlaceToBeNation.com, where we cover pro wrestling, sports, movies, comics, plus tournaments and more. Be sure to support our site by using PlaceToBeNation.com/Amazon when doing your online shopping, and download our free Place to Be Vintage Vault Refresh eBooks via the links on the right-hand side of our site. We also want to thank our friends at Boneheads Wing Bar in West Warwick, Rhode Island, and Fall River, Massachusetts, TheHistoryOfWrestling.com, and Scott Keith's Blog of Doom. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Tumblr as well. PlaceToBeNation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
The PWO PTBN feed has changed its name, now it will be known simply as Pro Wrestling Only, so it should be easier to find and indeed to say. All of your favourite shows are still here, including Where the Big Boys Play, Letters from Kayfabe, Titans of Wrestling, Tag Teams Back Again, This Week in Wrestling, and many, many more, including our full archives of tremendous content. So make sure you subscribe to the Pro Wrestling Only feed today.
Place Me Nation to the main event. Scott Criscolo, Jordan Duncan, good old Will. We will continue discussing Hell in a Cell. Great first segment, guys. A lot of good, fun discussion and debate. Before we get back to that, though, let's talk PlaceToBeNation.com, your home for everything pop culture. A lot of shows and a lot of everything. Fun, great day on the site today. The ninth episode of Letters from Kayfabe. Alan and Parv return for another week of cheesy fun. They go through their mailbag, WWF in Japan 1990, the Event Center. The show is really fun. It's a fun listen, so check it out. The ninth episode of Letters from Kayfabe is up right now. Survey says a WCW retrospective number three. This month, Andy and Tim survey the career of a once-in-a-lifetime performer, the man they call Sting. So check it out, the newest episode of Survey Says a WCW retrospective number three. The newest episode of Lucha Undead is up. Our man Timothy has another shoot interview. This one with Parv. Exile on Bud Street. Parv is there, of course. Your humble correspondent here and his PIC, Mr. Azero. We both run Letters from Kayfabe. Fantastic. I'm sorry, from Lucha Undead. So Parv is on the newest episode. So check it out. the season preview of the NBA team podcast, but this is NCAA. Andrew Reich and Mr. Adam Murray talk about the start of the hoop season, which is coming up right around the corner, as a matter of fact. Speaking of college, Mr. Logan Crosland and myself with the newest edition of the Campus Hot Takes as the first college football playoff rankings came out Tuesday, and we added that along with our hot takes of everything around college football. Not a lot of crazy games coming up this weekend. Nebraska, Ohio State's a big one. Of course, the huge one is down in Death Valley in Baton Rouge as number one Alabama takes on LSU. That's probably the big game of the weekend. So check it out, the newest edition of the Campus Hot Takes, myself and Logan Crosland.
Michigan State Rutgers, too. That's a big one.
Fucking Michigan State. Boy,
somebody's going to win a Big Ten game.
Boy, I know. Well, the Big Ten's in decent shape. It's the Big 12 that sucks donkey. Because the two undefeateds, nobody wanted to see Baylor do anything good anyway, because nobody likes Baylor. And West Virginia, as I mentioned on last week's Campus Hot Takes column, screw the pooch in Stillwater against Oklahoma State. Anyway, check out the newest column. Countdown. Top 500 matches of the 90s. Charles is doing this great countdown. This is the third edition that came up today. Matches 450 to 401. So check that out. And that's all encompassing everything. So check it out. Top 500 matches of the 90s by Charles.
That's 450 all over Twitter, too.
To 401. Yes, definitely. Newest edition of the excellent WWE Network Adventure is the February 21st, 1985 episode of TNT. Check that out as well. Glenn Butler with your Wednesday walk around the web. Stephen Ferrari continues his Survivor Series top 10. He talks about the 2000 Survivor Series. Psychology is Dead, the Art of Storytelling. Quentin and Chad explore the art of storytelling through four distinct feuds. They discuss what provides a strong storytelling base in the wrestling median. Also discussed, correlation between effective storytelling and overall enjoyment of certain matches and angles. Fascinating. And only a guy like Chad and Quentin would be able to do that. So check out Psychology is Dead, the Art of Storytelling. That's also on PlaceToBeNation.com. It is your home for everything pop culture. Of course, you can go to Amazon. You just type PlaceToBeNation.com/Amazon. Takes you right to Amazon, buy whatever you need, and we get a little taste to help keep the site going. So check that out as well. You can see of all of our great podcast feeds, the Pro Wrestling Only feed, PlaceToBeNation Wrestling feed, the Pop feed, all the great podcasts we have here on PlaceToBeNation.com. So check it out. Your home for everything pop culture. All right, gentlemen. Let's go back to Boston.
Holy shit, dude. Those plugs took longer than our show, man.
It was a great day in the site, my friend. A great day in the site. And also in the site, of course, Will, as you mentioned, you, Mr. Sorrow, and my man KZ did the reaction show for this Hell in a Cell. So check that out as well. Good companion piece to what we're doing this evening.
I wonder if Johnny liked the show.
He's always 50-50 when it comes to this WWE stuff. I'm not sure.
That's not the case.
Oh, man. And Chris Zell, while you were on your travails, KZ is a two-time visitor to PlaceToBe Nation's main event, just to let you know. I love Chris Zellner. One of my favorite people. And he's, of course, the host of two awesome podcasts, Exile and Backstreet.
Hey, do you ever notice how he's like the more excited Chad sound in person? Like him and Chad sound the same.
Well, you know what?
He sounds more excited.
Well, you know what? You know
it's
what?
Like he's on cocaine, but Chad's on heroin. You know, that's how you tell the difference.
Well, you know what, Will? Well, you know what, Will? One of the episodes that KZ was on, I had Chad. So I was just everybody's junkie that night. So it was great. But
dude, why would you put yourself through that torture?
sound like we were doing a booking meeting in Continental. I felt like I had the Fullers in the house. But no, that was a great episode. But anyway, I love Chris Zellner, one of my favorite people. All right, let's go back to Boston. Let's hop out of the cell for a couple matches. Our next match, another title on the line, the Cruiserweight Championship, a.k.a. the Purple Belt. Your champion, TJ Perkins, taking on for the second straight Raw pay-per-view. Mr. The Brian Kendrick, who I still think should be better with Ezekiel Jackson. Match in 10:35, and due to some heel shenanigans, great psychology, Brian Kendrick is your new Cruiserweight Champion. I was happy with when he won the tournament. I, of course, as I've said many times here on Main Event, I will always be a Cedric Alexander fan to the end. But TJ Perkins winning the tournament was fine. He got the trophy, inaugural champion. And then he just kind of, you know, he's got a cool open with the, you know, the video game shit, and the song's fine. It's a good open. Good entrance. Yeah,
it's pretty cool.
But after that, he's kind of like a male Bailey. I don't know.
No, they're not even close. Not even close. Bailey works circles around this guy.
But I mean like his like his tights. But here's a problem. He is nothing else. He's very flat, very vanilla. And I don't know if it's Raw didn't do him any favors, but we're going to get more into the cruiserweights later in the segment, but in general. But the match at Clash of Champions was not bad. This one was dreadfully dull.
Oh, it was horrible. Yeah.
And yeah, I think the problem is, and I think the problem is, and I'll, JD, I want your comments first, then I'll go to you, Will.
Okay.
I'm getting my comments in on this one, man.
You will.
I think there's a lot of problems.
There's a lot of problems here. I feel that the Cruiserweight Classic tournament was so fucking good that everybody in the tournament almost was on an even playing field, and they just picked the wrong guy to stand out. Maybe Grand Metalik, as Mauro used to say, would say. Maybe he should have won the tournament. Maybe Cedric should have won it. Maybe Swan.
Yep.
What of somebody else that has... TJ is just a good... He's a good worker, but he doesn't
Anybody
have that something extra. He doesn't have that something extra. JD, I'll start with you.
Yeah, there's a lot to unpack from this match. I think TJ Perkins is better as someone's little buddy that gets pummeled, and you have to get revenge for your little friend. You know what I mean? Like, he's the guy that gets beat up.
Right.
That like a John Cena would have to step in for. I think his promos are awful because it's kind of like someone found out he likes video games, so every sentence he says is like, "Hey, Brian, you should reset your attitude." You
garbage.
Know, like, it's so bad. It's so bad.
It is bad.
I even think, too, like, the whole storyline of Kendrick saying, "Let me win. I have to win." And then he fakes an injury, and the entire crowd just groaned. And TJ Perkins was the only person in the entire arena of 15,000 people that fell for it. It makes him look like a chump.
Right.
You know? I mean, he just looked like a total fool. But I think there's some bigger issues. I think you guys both mentioned Cedric. I think Rich Swann would be a better choice, too. He's just got charisma, you know. I'm fine with Brian Kendrick. I think his role's all right. And, you know, he wrestles a different style than most of the rest of them. And maybe that could be the story, is that he's trying to ground these guys who want to fly and dive and jump. And he just brings it to the mat and puts on the holds and stuff. But, yeah, TJ Perkins is I feel bad for the guy because I don't blame it entirely on him. But it's like he was destined to fail from the start, you know.
Yes.
All right, Will, go ahead.
Yes. Everything he said. No, dude, mechanically, this was perfectly fine. Okay,
yeah.
It was whatever it was. But here's a few things. One, Perkins looks completely bush league. His tights look horrible.
Yep.
He has nothing fairly distinguishable. Like, even Cedric Alexander's facial expressions are more interesting than everything about TJ Perkins.
I agree 100%. You're exactly
okay.
Right.
Yep. And I'm not even knocking the guy, man. I'm not even blaming him. Okay? Brian Kendrick, we saw him have great matches in the tournament. You know why? Because he had compelling storylines.
Yep.
This is one of the dumbest freaking storylines I've seen in WWE. Please do a job for me. Shut the fuck up and just give me a good storyline.
Right.
That's
right.
Some sub-level Vince Russo bullshit. All right?
Mm-hmm.
Get it out of there. All right, so you have a bad storyline to go with this. You have a guy who emits zero charisma, zero personality. It literally felt like we were talking about earlier with the Rollins and the Owens match, just doing moves for the sake of moves. That's how this felt. Now, compare that with the first match where, yeah, they did do moves for the sake of moves because that's what, you know, six-man cruiserweight matches do. But then you have Gulak bringing it down to the mat, twisting people up. And if you want to talk about a guy who gets reactions when he's on the ground, Gulak does that. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And so why not put Gulak in that position?
Right.
And Brian Kendrick, we cared about him in the cruiserweight title because we're watching a show where they build that up. Hey, the guy's full of redemption. Now, the announcers are talking about it, but that did not play out on TV. It's what everybody's talking about, but it's not what they're showing her. That's the biggest freaking problem with this company. They talk about things like Bayley and Sasha being friends. They don't actually show them being friends on the show.
Yeah.
You know what? Wrestling fans are slow. I'm slow. I was a teacher, and I'm still slow. We're all slow. Show us what you want us to see. Don't tell us. Show us.
Mm-hmm. That's a great point, Will.
They don't do it with anybody. They talk and talk and talk. Like, why were we supposed to care about Roman Reigns on his build? Because they talked about it. They didn't show us Roman Reigns being the best wrestler who deserved this elevation. They just told us he should have been.
Right.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And the guys who get over organically, and we talked about this a lot on the reaction show, your Daniel Bryans, your CM Punks, they show us or they talk us into believing.
Yeah.
You know, where the rest, not the announcers, but the wrestlers talk us into it.
Right.
Or the wrestlers show us why we should invest in them. And these guys don't do that. That's why I was so high on Cedric Alexander in that first match, because just his facial expressions say, hey, I want to cheer for this guy.
Right.
And these guys aren't doing that. Please let me win the match. Shut the fuck up. Get out of here with that shit. You know what I mean? Give us a great storyline like you did in the Cruiserweight title. And show it to us on TV instead of the stupid video game bullshit, and the people will be drawn in. And this whole division has been dead on arrival because they don't know what the fuck to do with it. They throw them on these random matches that don't mean anything. Rich Swann beats Kendrick on TV?
Yeah.
It was Kendrick.
Yeah.
And then he's not even on the pay-per-view. Like, he's not featured. I don't even know if they mentioned his name. They might have. Someone said he was on the pre-show or he did an interview segment or something. It doesn't matter. The point is, it doesn't matter. None of this shit matters because this company doesn't know how to make things matter because it all feels fake. And that's why I'm so fed up. Sorry.
Hmm. Go. You guys are both dead on for both. Kendrick is an experienced veteran who...
Oh, and the Indian was really stupid, too. Keep going.
The Indian was really stupid. you know, I think that there needs to be a little more... There needs to be some more teeth in these Cruiserweight feuds, and that's going to get into one of the...
Well, and that's another problem. You said feuds, as if there's more than one.
Yeah, well, there kind of needs
there's
to
not.
Be... Yeah, no, there's not. There kind of needs to be now, and we're going to get into that in a little bit. But so Brian Kendrick is your new Cruiserweight champion. Then they had a rematch on Raw the next night, and Kendrick won by countout because he did a cool heel thing, and Perkins looked like a fucking dope, and that's because he
really does look like a chump.
He really looks like a schmuck. He really does.
That's the best way to get a baby face over is to make him look stupid.
Make him look like an idiot. I used to think they almost did that with Sting a few times back in the day, but Sting just was so charismatic that he was able to brush it off. But
no, he didn't. It hurt him. Him looking stupid hurt him, too.
Yeah, I a little bit, yeah. They found a way eventually for him to recover, but yeah, they did. So, all right. So
Sting would beat the guy up that made him look stupid, though. That's the difference.
Yeah, there's a difference. Perkins just looks like a toolbox. Anyway, so there it is. Brian Kendrick is your new Cruiserweight champion. All right, next
worst
up,
match of the show.
Yeah, and all right, so next up, another, let's see, our 1, 2, 4th title match of the evening. The Penny Belts are on the line, the WWE Raw Tag Team Championship. Your champions, El Dio Nuevo, taking on the slap together, you know, Oliver, you know, Laurel and Hardy, Marx Brothers team of Cesaro and Sheamus. Where the segments actually, the backstage segments are funny, but Cesaro and Sheamus win by DQ in a decent match. Goes about 11-15. Now, Will, getting back to what we were saying earlier with Enzo Cass and Gallows and Anderson. New Day, I think, is about, I think I saw the, I did the math on Monday. I think they're like 64 days away from breaking Demolition's record. About the first 250 days of the streak, it was compelling, but now I'm starting to feel like because Axe and Smash are on that stupid fucking concussion lawsuit, they probably don't even realize they're on the action class action suit because this ambulance chaser just threw 70 wrestling names on it. Are they going to have the New Day break the record just because to spite Demolition, and thus that is why New Day's kind of. It's almost like they're forcing the reign to last this long when by now they probably should have already lost them. What do you
yes.
think? You know?
Yes. And yes.
Okay.
No, really, really, it's that simple. It really is just to get it. They did the same thing with Bella and AJ Lee. It was, we got to get this girl out of the books and put this new one in. And it's the same crap, man. I mean, it's not, like, once again, it's not organic. It doesn't feel natural. It feels forced. It feels fake. It feels bad.
It's just like, it's the same as Orton winning, beating Benoit at SummerSlam 04 just to have him be the youngest guy and erase Brock yeah. Lesnar from the history books.
Yeah.
Same thing. And look, we love Xavier, but even their opening promos, the walk down the ramp, and even that's starting to feel a little like they're at the back end of the New Day joke book, and they're like, should we just start back on page one again? I don't know, but they've heard all this stuff already. I don't know. And didn't they even acknowledge in the ring, I'm trying to remember if I heard this, these jokes are getting, that this opening thing is going too long. I think they even acknowledged it. Anyway, it's a decent match. I didn't think Sheamus and Cesaro were going to win because I didn't think they wanted the streak to end with, or the title reign to end with this slap together team. That I'm not sure about. JD, do you think Sheamus is going to end up turning face from this? I don't know if Cesaro is going to turn heel. I don't think anybody wants to see that.
No, he's not going to do that.
Will this lead to Cesaro moving to SmackDown? I'm going to take that question out because we talk about that every time on the show. Let's put it this way. Is this going to lead to Sheamus turning face and then me putting a gun in my mouth? Because I couldn't, if you remember Main Event back in the day, I couldn't stand Sheamus as a babyface.
Oh,
I actually
face
like
Sheamus
him as a heel.
Was terrible. Yeah.
Yeah. Where is this going? Let me ask you.
That's such a hard question because I don't think they have a clue where it's going.
Mean babyface character Sheamus, right? Because as a wrestler, he was pretty great.
I like Sheamus. Yes. Honestly, I like Sheamus as a wrestler, period. I don't care what side he is, wrestler-wise.
Yes.
Character, wise, I hated him as a babyface. He was such a dope.
But you know why? Because that's how they portray all babyfaces.
Yeah.
They make babyfaces into dopes. Whatever made them cool or remotely interesting in the first place, once they change them into a babyface, like look at Seth Rollins. They change him into a babyface. All he does is whine like a heel. And it's horrible.
Yeah. Yep.
I mean, stop taking away the things that make these guys popular in the first place. They didn't do it with Rock. They didn't do it with Austin. Austin was still an asshole, still cheated, still gave the middle finger, still drank beer. It didn't matter. You know what I mean? Right. Yep. Stop taking away because you already have this set formula on what you think a guy should act like.
Well, you know who was the
stuff that got them popular in the first place.
Yeah. You know what guy was ruined because of that exact theory? Diesel.
Roman Reigns, too.
And Reigns. Yep. And Diesel. I'm watching the 94 Raws now for the project that JR and I are working on. Diesel 94 was so fucking cool. So cool. The minute he won the belt from Backlund in November, oh, hey, let's turn him into Hulk fucking Hogan.
Yeah.
But still
garbage.
Wearing leather.
Garbage. And now the thing they do is...
And he became a complete schlub.
The thing they do now is the guys have to be funny if they're the babyface. But their comedy almost always fails.
Because it's
written, rehearsed garbage.
It is. Right. It is. It's rehearsed. It's schlock is what it is. It's crap. It's memorized. I think it was you that said it, Will. Oh, no. Yeah, it was you. I think it said it, Will. That Seth Rollins' lines sound rehearsed. He's now the... When he was a heel and he was kind of leaning on Triple H and he was like the authorities, you know, fucking sexy beast or whatever, it was a little different. Now, as the babyface, he sounds rehearsed. Mm-hmm. More than he ever did before, and that's a problem. But overall, this match was fine; served its purpose.
Yeah,
I think
it was fine. It's the booking that hurts things, and the bad finish again. It was like two matches back to back with bad finishes.
Right?
Do you think Kofi was hurt? Because it's not often we actually see Xavier wrestle. Was Kofi hurt, or is it because he had those stupid fucking LeBron or whatever those? Gronkowski sneakers, whatever the hell he had on. But very rare that actually Xavier wrestled, so it was weird.
But, I mean, you can't have Freebird's rules if only two Freebirds ever wrestled.
You are correct. Right? Well, you got to have a little Buddy Jack Roberts action there, Will. Yeah, no doubt about it.
Yeah, and Buddy Jack was awesome.
Buddy Jack was awesome.
Back in the day.
Oh, man. Remember the Iceman Parsons feud with the fucking hair taunt, with the hair cream?
It was beautiful, man.
It was fantastic.
Anyway, let's get to this main event.
All right, let's get to the main event. Our final match, the final cell match of the evening, the Raw Women's Championship, your champion, the The Boss, Boston's own, Sasha Banks, who's from Boston and doesn't have a Boston accent, which I find interesting, taking on the Queen, Charlotte, trying to go for her third women's title and her 13th straight pay-per-view title victory in a match that was 22-25. It was the shortest of the three cell matches. Not by a lot, though. Reigns actually was the longest, 24-35. Owens Rollins was 23-15, and this one was 22-25.
But so is that counting all the pre-match stuff? Probably not, huh?
Like what all happened? I guess it's from when the bell rang. I guess it was from when the bell rang.
Picture that, and it's probably the longest.
Yeah, if you take that into consideration, it was probably, what, like 38 minutes probably, or close to 40, I guess.
Seems like it.
This match told a fairly good story. I think they utilized what everybody... Now, you guys are both on the live chats, and then we have the other chat, JD. I have said constantly throughout the few weeks leading up to this match that I was petrified Sasha was going to fucking do something stupid.
Yeah.
And she almost did. Yeah. That power bomb. Did I fall for it? Did I fall for the neck brace and the stretcher? Yeah, I did. I'm not going to lie. I did. I fell for it. I thought the match was over. I really did. I did. I fell for it. I'm stupid. I fell for it. After that, the match was very good. Here's my Sasha problem. I don't hate Sasha. I don't. Not at all. Here's the problem. Will, I'll let you go first on my retort or whether you agree or disagree. You and then JD.
All right.
But let me get my point out first. Sasha's problem is that she doesn't know her own size. Bayley wrestles within the means of her structure. She's a small girl or small woman's wrestler, so she knows that bumps, she can only take a bump level so far before it becomes dangerous. Sasha doesn't have that level filter to the point where someone tells her, Sasha, you're only 100 and, I don't know, whatever, she's probably 130 10, pounds or
maybe,
something, maybe 115 to 120 pounds. Charlotte's probably like 150 probably?
340, I think.
340. So both of them have different levels of, maybe I'm going to include a new equation, bump ratio, if you will. Bump ratio.
How in the fuck do you even measure that?
I think you measure based on your size. I think the situation with Sasha is she doesn't understand that her skeleton, her structure is different than, say, Charlotte or even Becky Lynch, who's a little
thicker.
Yeah, but she's not. I mean, not that she's like Charlotte, but Sasha is her frame is to the point where she needs to know when
she almost looks bony. Yeah, she's
yeah. She needs
skinny.
To know she's an incredible worker and she's got great moves, but she needs to set her limits. And I was nervous that she was going to go over the limit, no pun intended, on a past WWE pay per view title, and something bad was going to happen. Like when Charlotte started climbing the cage wall, the cell wall. I'm like, oh fuck! I knew it. Sasha's going to go flying to the 15th fucking row. And fortunately, that didn't happen. As the match progressed, they took some serious bumps. She landed hard a couple of times. And in the end, they did the whole backstory line. I don't know if they... Somebody said to me that, oh, they must have botched the end because the table didn't break. I'll be honest with you. I'm probably wrong, but I'm going to say it anyway. I don't think the table was meant to break. I think she was supposed to bounce off.
Oh, she just chucked her onto it a few times?
Yeah, I think she was meant to bounce off it.
Yeah.
I think it looked better than if it cracked. Plus, again, Sasha's not that heavy, so it would take a lot of inertia and, you know, I don't know if that's the right word, but a lot of I'm getting too fucking analytical now. It would take a lot for someone of Sasha's size to snap a table like that. So I think she was meant to bounce off it. And Charlotte now, a three-time women's champion. A Raw Women's Champion. What is your take of Sasha's future, Will, from this point forward?
She doesn't have long, man. It's that simple.
I know, right?
And man, yeah. Everybody's saying it. Scott, come on. I mean, we know. I mean, she's constantly getting injured. But the idea is, once again, when we talk about people that are organically over, Sasha's organically over, let her run with it.
Yep.
Until the wheels fall off, and they don't do it. They, like I said, once again, they already had this preconceived notion that Charlotte's going to be the face of the division. I'm not saying Charlotte's done a bad job at all. I'm just saying Sasha's the star. You know what I mean?
Right.
Just kind of, she's the star. Just like they've done with so many other people, they already have a preconceived notion instead of letting things happen organically. And, I mean, look, was there any reason at all, for Charlotte to win this match in Sasha's hometown? Not one. The same thing for Mania. There was not one compelling reason for Charlotte to go over Sasha at Mania just to piss off 100,000 people. It's just this company and their booking, it makes no sense. And they wonder why people don't get over. They wonder why people aren't invested and why they have dead crowds. It's because they don't let anything happen organically, whether it's in the talking. And when they do, like the Jericho List thing, right? I have to believe that somebody let Jericho do all of his own shtick. Or when New Day first got over, that was New Day doing their own shtick. And then once the writers and Vince took over, then New Day kind of sucks, right? Because all of a sudden then it sounds forced and contrived. You know, it's their inability to let anything happen organically that is really hindering them. And it really bothers me because Sasha is a fucking star. You know what I mean? You know who else didn't really get like a lot of play when she first came on TV, but it didn't really matter because she was Sasha fucking Banks. Sasha fucking Banks.
Right.
People just liked her. They were chanting her name from the beginning, and it grew. And man, I know Scott. I didn't get to meet you at Mania. I got to meet JT and Dr. Death Steve Williams, the winner of that stupid trivia contest I lost. But I'm not bitter or anything, you know. And the reality is, 100,000 people were cheering for one woman, and that woman lost because this company doesn't believe in giving their fans what they want and giving them the enjoyment of seeing their favorites win. Mm-hmm. Sorry.
I actually wanted Becky Lynch to win. I didn't give a shit what anybody else. I wanted
but
Becky.
She didn't win either.
I know she didn't. I was just as pissed off regardless. But JD, is this 13? All right, if Sasha is not in the future plans, if she's not the one to break, because I think we've tapped out on Charlotte-Sasha matches for the time being.
Yeah.
Is this whole 13 pay-per-view title thing or whatever, is the whole Charlotte era meant to be Bayley's to break?
I mean, you'd think so. And that's where we were talking earlier about just stuff that where Will said, show us, don't tell us. I mean, they started the match almost like as a tribute act to Foley in the Hell in the Cell.
Almost exactly.
Taker, right?
Yeah, almost exactly.
But almost exactly. Here's the part that we missed. When Foley was getting carted out, who came out? His buddy Terry Funk to check on him. Bayley is Sasha's buddy. How much more would it have mattered if Bayley came out while Sasha was on the stretcher trying to talk her out of it, giving Charlotte the death stare like, I'm going to kill you for this. You know,
it's fucking men.
Just such a miss. Instead, what we got was Sasha gets up, and that's fine. And then the next night, Charlotte just calls Bayley out. But man, if they would have just done that little thing, it would have added so much to moving forward. You kickstart the next story. It's already started.
Right. Yep.
You know?
Yep.
So, I mean, that's it's got to be, right? Like, I don't know what else they do with it. And then the question is, okay, so does that go to Mania? And if that's the case, then what do we do between November and April with Charlotte, you know? I mean,
I know.
I would have to think that maybe Bayley gets one shot and loses the first time. And, you know, because that's kind of Bayley's story, is that she doesn't always win on her first try.
Right.
But, man, I mean, it makes sense, and I'm fine with that if that's the outcome, but it's kind of like they come up with their starting points and their finishing points, and then they don't fill in the blanks in between. And that's where it matters the most. If you want us to care at the end, you got to get us there. So I think Will really summed things up when he said inability to be organic. You know, they don't really allow for things to happen. Even this match, you know, I don't have a problem with – with the women main eventing a pay-per-view, but I don't think it was organic. I think it was them patting themselves on the back to say, look, we're having women main event a pay-per-view. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, there's... It's frustrating because just watching it, it was a good match, and it was
a great match.
You know, and the story it's in, contained within is fine, and so they have so much potential, and then it's just there's just so much stuff that frustrates you at the same time. It's like watching a sports team that's supposed to win the title and they're struggling to make the playoffs. You know,
or struggling to close out a game seven, for Christ's sakes. Anyway,
oh, geez.
Anyway. So, hold on. I want to add to what he said.
Yeah, go ahead.
Taken as the first ladies main event, Hell in a Cell, blah, blah, whatever, they really did a great presentation. Putting it over as important and special and historic, and the ladies delivered in the match. It was just the booking at the end that kind of like, really? You know what I mean? Like, you couldn't just give the hometown girl a win and let Charlotte win cheaply next day. Like, this 13 pay-per-views, which is absolutely irrelevant now because of the network, and there are no pay-per-views. You know what I mean? It's a stupid, made-up stat. I hate that we're even talking about it. You know? But everything else was really well done and put together, man. A great match. And, you know, you just wish that... You know what takes a great match to a historic match is when the payoff or the finish is legendary, and that's what you remember years from now. And we're not going to have that with this match at all, because nobody's going to give a shit.
I agree. Right.
Yeah. So we'll see where it goes from here. Well, we obviously know where it's going to go from here, and maybe it'll be something motivated at Survivor Series. But Charlotte is now a 3-time Raw Women's Champion. That belt, of course, debuted at WrestleMania, actually. Will, you got to see it firsthand for the first time.
Yippee-yay.
Yay! All right, so there is Hell in a Cell. Top to bottom, Will, overall, did you like it, the show as a whole?
Well, once again, there's the caveat that I did watch it.
That is true.
In a different order.
But having said that, I was glad I did because... You know what? I thought the Rusev Reigns paid off. I thought the main event paid off, and I really liked that cruiser opener. And the only real stinker of a match, the only match I really thought, man, this sucks, was that Perkins Kendrick. And I don't even blame those guys because we've seen those guys. They've proven before they can have awesome, great matches. I blame the company on that.
Okay.
So yeah, I like the show.
Okay, JD.
I skipped the New Day match, which is why I didn't add much to the conversation. didn't watch that match at all. I thought all three Cell matches delivered in their own way. I think maybe Owens and Rollins I didn't really like as much as most people did. But the women's match, take away the finish, and I'm fine with it. Even the finish itself. I mean, maybe if it's in a different arena, I think we could be okay with it, because I think it makes Charlotte a heel in the way you want her to be. You know, you're pissed that she won.
Right.
Okay. The opener was good. The cruiserweight match sucked. It's kind of a mixed bag, but the matches that they promoted the most delivered. So in that sense, you have to think it's a good show.
Right.
You know, if it's the undercard that stinks, that's fine.
Right. I had no problem with it. Again, I honestly was half paying attention to the first half of the show because I was watching the Cowboy Eagles game. But once my iPad shit the bed and I was watching it from, I thought it was a solid show. So the next,
so hold on, Scott. Does this mean on Facebook I can post like funny cowboy memes on your timeline?
I get enough cowboy memes from my brother, who's a Giant fan.
His team sucks too. I hate them too.
I can't. Yeah, exactly. But really, everybody except Brad, everybody hates the Eagles. all right. Anyway,
wait. Let's talk about the Eagles for a minute, because they have no. At least the Cowboys, they got their rings. They're 5. The Giants got their 4. My Packers got our 4. The Eagles have won nothing, so they're really not even in the discussion. They're just
show,
right?
Wow.
I mean, come on,
Brad's listening. I
don't care because it's reality, right? You know, they've won nothing. They've accomplished nothing. I think they've been to what, 1 Super Bowl, 2 Super Bowls, like two. Well, yippee-yay! You win.
Their quarterback puked during one of them.
Right,
that's right.
You got front row seats to some other team getting their trophy. You know, good for you. Like they don't really mean anything. I mean, you know, so it's like, yeah, we can make fun of the Eagles, but really, are they even relevant? You know what I mean? Like, when the most famous thing that ever happened was beating up Santa Claus or whatever crap happened, booing Santa Claus, are you really that important of a team? Come on. You're really not, right? I
mean, oh, wow. All right.
This is
I root for the Lions, so I can't really.
Oh, yeah. They suck. Yeah.
They have a cool building,
though.
They
mean nothing, too. You know?
And we'll be in the Lions stadium on next week for the Vintage Vault. All right.
The most important thing the Lions ever did was watch the greatest running back of all time do nothing. That's what they did. Okay, let's move on.
Well, no. What they watched was one of the greatest running backs of all time do a lot and get nothing out of it. Let's clarify.
Fair enough.
All right. I agree with that. All right, guys. Speaking of the cruiserweights, big news today that came out. A new show will be debuting on Tuesday, November 29th. A cruiserweight show. It is called 205 Live. And it's going to debut on the network on Tuesday, November 29th, the Tuesday after Thanksgiving, after SmackDown Live at 10 o'clock on the network. Which means that Talking Smack will be moved to 11 o'clock. Let's talk pros and cons. Yeah, that's a con. We'll get to that in a minute. Pros. I like that the Cruiserweights have a stage now, their own stage. Perfect. Love that. And now TJ Perkins, who we've talked about, we kind of shit on a little bit on this show, through no fault of his own and from some fault of his own, now can kind of be rejuvenated with other cruisers, and they can kind of, can kind of keep things going and make it interesting and kind of build these other guys up, like Swan and my man Cedric and Gulick. And
Gulak,
and those and the other guys whose names I have to start to learn, and maybe Grand Metalik. I'd love hearing Mauro say that. Grand Metalik. Now, here's the cons. Number one, they're not being taken off Raw, which I think is a stupid idea. I think they should be taken off Raw because they're not getting their full usage on a 3-hour show, which is utterly ridiculous because you need to fill it somehow. Number two, I think the best part about Talking Smack is that
it's immediate.
It's right after SmackDown. Now you gotta wait an hour? Who the fuck's gonna wait around for an hour? I think that's a terrible idea. They should. I think that.
But how long is Talking Smack? Is that an hour long too?
No, it's like 28 minutes. It's just under half.
I was gonna
an
say because if it's an hour, I mean, then you're asking people to watch 4 hours of your show on Tuesday nights too.
Now, I'm wondering. Because apparently it's going to be live in the arena after SmackDown.
Oh.
I'm wondering if the business people in WWE or the live event people in WWE said, wow, the Tuesday people get screwed. Because Mondays you have... Now, I know I'm pretty sure Main Event and Superstar split the two nights. I think one venue... I don't know which night is which. I'll just guess. Monday nights is probably when they shoot Main Event, and Tuesday nights is when they shoot Superstars. So you got those shows probably early. Then you have Raw, which is 3 hours. So that's 4 hours on Mondays. But SmackDown, you only get 3 hours live. So I'm wondering if some stunod in the live events department at WWE said, well, the Tuesday people are getting screwed. We need to give them another hour. So let's fucking put the cruiserweights on Tuesdays so the live event people can get their money's worth and have a full 4 hours of wrestling because the Monday people get a full 4 hours of wrestling, which is a colossally stupid idea. And number three, now the cruiserweights have to travel 2 days? Sometimes three because some cruiserweights wrestle on Wednesdays at Full Sail. Now, that's only once a month. I understand that because they do tape. But at least 1 week a month, the cruiserweights have to go to wherever Raw is to do whatever Raw stuff's going on.
Uh-huh.
Go Tuesday to wherever the SmackDown taping is. Where the SmackDown show is, so they could do their cruiserweight show on Tuesday night. And then, depending on what week it is, then the cruisers have to fly down to Full Sail and do four shows, possibly. Four shows worth of NXT tapings. So why do the rest of these lazy fucks, who make more money probably than any of the cruiserweights do, get to only have to do 1 day a week of TV? I mean, house shows, obviously, are house shows. But the cruisers have to go Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday sometimes to three different venues. So the cruiserweights are going to get burnt out. Then, now apparently the announcers are going to be Mauro, who's already on the SmackDown show, so he's already there, and Corey Graves. So now Corey Graves has to leave whatever show, whatever city Raw is, to go to SmackDown and have to work a second night. Now, that's what happens when you're good, because Corey Graves is awesome. So, the show itself is not the problem. The show is great. I like a cruiserweight-only show. I think that's fantastic, because you have a boatload of them, and you can really do some compelling stuff. Of course, Will, I'm being optimistic. They probably may fuck it up, because the writing, God only knows who will be writing it. Hopefully, it's the SmackDown guy, because he's better than fucking horse-face Kevin Dunn. But, am I off base, JD? Is there too many cons? Am I coming up with too many cons, or are there potential pitfalls?
Are valid, and to me, it's a weird timing. Like, I don't know if this was planned for a while and they just announced it, but it's like, hey guys, you know the deadest part of our show? Now you can watch just that. You know, like,
I know that's true
with a burnt out crowd.
Right. Yeah, with a fried crowd who's already dealt with 2 hours of SmackDown. If you're going to here's a problem. If you're going to do the cruisers, you might as well do them early. But now you've already gone through SmackDown, you've gone through the big main event, the big final segment, and now another hour where you may get two matches. Maybe three, depending on how you lay out the format of it. I think you're cooked. You're exactly right, Will. Yeah. You're cooked.
It's going to be a colossal failure.
Yeah, which sucks, which isn't fair to the show, because I think a cruiserweight show is fantastic.
People are going to leave, too. I mean, they're going to be playing to people walking out of the arenas, you know. I mean, the people that come for Cena and Ambrose and stuff like that.
And you know what sucks? You know what sucks? The dickheads in the business part of WWE are going to blame the cruiserweights for it. That's what's going to happen.
I feel like,
wow, these guys aren't over. Look at these crowds.
It's a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Yeah. If
you're going to do a cruiserweight show, do it for Full Sail, man, because those people love them.
You might as well
do
it.
You're going to get a rabid crowd. It's going to be a lot smaller, but it's going to be a crowd that cheers and screams where you want it to.
Right.
Or better yet, Jordan, do like you do for NXT and do the cruiserweights on tour at these smaller amphitheaters.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, like 800 seats.
It would be cool, be hip, be different.
Why don't you just do the cruiserweight show like you did the cruiserweight tournament? Just do it. At nine, what time's NXT? It's 8 o'clock on Wednesdays, right? Or 9 o'clock? When do they air live?
It's on Wednesdays.
Right?
I don't know what time.
I don't know what time either. And just do the cruiser show after it. Make it like cruiser super work rate Wednesday on the network. Instead of frying the SmackDown live crowd because you think they need an extra hour because they're getting screwed, unlike the Monday people who got a full 4 hours, depending if, you know, whatever main event or superstar, whatever those crap shows get taped. That's the problem.
Really, it's just really crazy to me.
It sounds like it's rushed. I agree with you, JD.
More content is something that they need right now.
Well, more content and just not thinking the logistics of it. It really does seem...
It sounds like a mess.
It does really seem rushed. That's what I think.
Yeah.
I have no problem with it. I think a one-hour show of just the cruisers is utterly great.
What's it called again?
205 Live.
Okay.
I don't know what the 205 is. That like the maximum weight? Is that the whole point?
It's got to be.
Was it that low? You telling me that Matt Hardy wrestled at 205 pounds in 1995?
No, it used to be 225.
That's what I figured.
Even that seemed a little trim for Matt Hardy.
Or two. maybe when he carries a xylophone, he weighs a little more.
Maxwell could win the cruiserweight.
Exactly. Yeah, Maxwell. So we'll keep tabs on this over the next few weeks, see if any more details come out. It doesn't premiere until Tuesday. November 29th, the Tuesday after Thanksgiving, on the network. And Talking Smack gets screwed. We didn't even talk about that. Talking Smack. And I know I went on a big rant on Sunday night. No, I went on a whole thing about that. I watched Talking Smack today after I watched SmackDown, and I liked the show. First off, Renee Young gets fucking abused. There must be some kind of ribbing thing going on backstage with her because she was getting crucified on Talking Smack this week. But anyway. Now you're going to wait an hour before you do that? I thought it was fine at 10 o'clock, fresh off the show, and then you go right to the network for Talking Smack. Instead, now you're going to watch a whole other show, which you'll be entertained by because it is Cruisers. And then by 11 o'clock, Renee's going to sit there and go, well, SmackDown ended an hour ago. And you're going to think, like we talk about suspending disbelief, Will. You're going to think these people are all going to wait around for an hour and then just kind of, hey, okay, when is Talking Smack? Oh, it's on now. You know what I mean? I think that's a bad idea. I think that the Cruiserweight show should be on Wednesday nights after NXT and do it at Full Sail. And then, like you said, add some cruisers to the NXT tours in the smaller venues.
No, no, not to the NXT tours. Do a completely separate tour.
Yeah.
You think that could be maintained? You think they can maintain a separate tour?
Do we think the NXT tours could be maintained? I mean,
oh, definitely.
You know, if you know, I mean, you had 32 guys that you could have featured, which is probably more guys than they feature like in ROH or Evolve. I mean,
that's true.
Yeah, you know what I mean? It's not rocket science. I mean, if they put on a cool hip product, like you're going to tell me that, you know, the same crowd that's watching NXT probably watched the Cruiserweight Classic, right?
Yes.
And all those NXT tours are selling out in like 5 minutes. You know, granted, they're only playing to 1,000 or 2,000 people. It doesn't matter. They're still selling out. They're still hot. If they would have kept that same hip, cool, alternative vibe that NXT was able to pull off and that the tournament was able to pull off, there's no reason why they couldn't have done the same thing.
Yep. Yeah, you're right. So we'll keep tabs on this over the next few weeks as we get closer to the debut on November 29th. Guys, that was a fantastic show. We're done here. We'll be back in 2 weeks. We didn't even touch on Goldberg, Brock, or anything for Survivor Series, but we're still a few weeks out. So yeah. I believe the next one, today's the first, so the next one is the today's the second, right? So it is the 16th, which is the preview of Survivor Series. So whoever's on that night, that episode will be a preview for Survivor Series. So we will talk about Brock and Goldberg. We'll talk about the Survivor matches and get you ready for that show in Toronto. Don't know who we'll have on yet, but we'll see. Guys, you're the best. Thank you. Will, of course, you're
no,
back.
No, you're the best guy.
I know. Will, of course, reaction show. And keep that up. You're the best. And, of course, you'll be floating around the other great shows, both here on the Place to Be Nation wrestling feed and on PWO, of course. JD? Next rank and file soon. What else are you on? I don't know. You're like a gypsy. You're like a cruiserweight.
Glenn and Steve and I are talking about another live watch pretty soon.
Oh, nice. That's fantastic.
Yeah. Those are a lot of fun.
Excellent.
I don't have a date for you, though. Sorry.
Okay. No problem. But, yeah. So, for Jordan Duncan, for Will, I'm Scott Criscolo. You've been in the main event. We hope you enjoyed Hell in a Cell, and we'll be back in 2 weeks to preview Richfield, Ohio, 1987. Oh, wait, sorry. Seems like it because we have so many Survivor matches, but talk to you in 2 weeks to preview Survivor Series.
Yeah.
Shut up.
your